make sure you're in fellowship and turn to the doctrine of reversionism, which Peter taught quite specifically. We can avoid this by maintaining the spiritual virtues of the Christian way of life, keeping them intact throughout our Christian life. One introduction to this doctrine. This doctrine must be viewed in harmony with other doctrines, such as salvation, the maturity adjustment, rebound, eternal security, volition, etc. In other words, you've got to have some frame of reference with respect to the realities of these things, the mechanics associated with them, etc., to have a true appreciation for the doctrine of reversionism. Doesn't mean that you can't learn otherwise from the doctrine, but your full appreciation of it will be centered in regards to your understanding of other Bible doctrine in this respect. So B, failure to gap these doctrines have led to distortions about reversionism, to include those who say you can lose your salvation under the doctrine of eternal security. Once one exercises faith in Christ, that is all that's necessary to escape eternal condemnation. Yet there are legalistic types proclaim that one can lose one's salvation. Hence, they have the approach in regards to the believer's experience of, if you will, riding the altar to heaven type of scenarios, situations that you see in certain denominations in this regards. The same types of people a lot of times say you've got to come to perfection, moral perfection in time. And they obviously lose or do not have any sense in regards to the rebound adjustment as well as the maturity adjustment with respect to the Christian life. See, the corresponding doctrine that relates directly to and parallel to reversionism is volition. It's free will that resides in the soul. Our soul possesses our free will. It is created neutral. The soul is, and is put into the human body at the point of physical birth. At the time of plugging in the soul to the body is when the infant takes its first breath of life. And that is when life technically begins in regards to the human species. And you've got to understand the principle of free will, which categorizes volition as being either one, negative, terms that we use quite often around here. Negative volition indicates the soul which chooses to reject or deny the truth of God's plan as it relates to the three adjustments, salvation, rebound, and maturity adjustment, required for men to have a relationship with God. A, the salvation adjustment to the justice of God, that is faith alone apart from works. The object of faith is in the person of Jesus Christ for salvation from eternal condemnation. John 1:12. But as many as received him, Jesus Christ, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. John 3:16-36. Popular verses among the fundamentalists. Denominationalism, for God so loved the world that he gave his uniquely begotten Son, that whoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. In verse 36, he who believes in the Son has eternal life. But in contrast, he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. In Romans 10:13, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will, future certainty, be saved. The name of the Lord is his reputation. That's response to the salvation adjustment of exercising faith in him. B, then the rebound adjustment to the justice of God, the mechanics for the believer in time and dealing with experiential sin in the life. Primary verse there for the mechanics is 1 John 1:9, which most of us are familiar with. Compare 1 Corinthians 11:31. But if we judge ourselves rightly, we should not be judged. And we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, in order that we may not be condemned along with the world. See, the maturity adjustment then, whereas the salvation adjustment is a one-time proposition. Once one crosses a line, so to speak, you can't go back and uncross the line. You're in. Rebound adjustment obviously is that which is necessary continuously throughout the Christian life. And then our focus and goal in regards to our Christian experience is the maturity adjustment suggested to God. Point C, as the believer's most pressing responsibility and ultimate goal in life, necessary to maximize the relationship with God and eternal niche. Ephesians 4, 14 and 15. So we can avoid verse 14 under the proper communicated gifts given to the church to teach Bible doctrine listed in verse 11. For the purpose of equipping the saints, verse 12, for the work of service, for the building up, the edification process of maturity, advance of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, our objective and goal, to become spiritually mature, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ, verse 14. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves, those who are spiritually unstable in life and carried away about by every wind of doctrine, the human viewpoint that saturates the world by the trickery of men, by craftiness with regards to the scheming of deceit, which obviously Satan sponsors. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. And then 2 Peter 3:18 commands us to grow in both grace and knowledge. Two, in contrast to negative volition, then there is positive volition. That describes the soul which chooses to believe the truth of Bible doctrine and apply it as it relates to the three adjustments to God. D, reversionism is the expression of negative volition to Bible doctrine, equating to regression or degeneration. Neutralizing would be another term that I use often. It neutralizes your spiritual advance. Sometimes it's referred to as backsliding in certain denominational vernacular, thwarting spiritual advance. It's that which is neutralizing the spiritual advance of an individual, and they are not producing divine good production, nor are they growing spiritually. volition is generally categorized as to its ultimate outcome, which we have a separate doctrine for volition if you're interested. That is, one, all unbelievers by definition are negative until they express faith in Christ. They have not ever evidenced positive volition. Two, all believers are positive at least once in their lifetime, faith in Christ. Three, all believers who make the maturity adjustment and hold to the end are positive believers. They're under MPR, and they are maintaining their spiritual advance and hold to the end. Those are believers who are positive throughout their phase two. And for all believers who do not make the maturity adjustment and hold to the end are negative believers, those who do not exit this life glorifying God by maintaining their spiritual virtues and holding to the end, they ultimately end up being negative. This doctrine dissects volition and degrees of expression, being positive or negative, as it relates to the exposure and reactions to the truth of Bible doctrine during the individual's lifetime. So one can ultimately be positive, yet go into reverse vision and make recovery and get back on the straight and narrow. But for a time, they manifest evidence, negative volition, as they reject Bible doctrine under the terms of reversionism. This does not mean that one who is in reversionism will ipso facto always result in an end state of negative volition. H, that is because the nature of volition, free will, demands that one can change their mind, they can repent at any time during their life, and those who are negative can turn positive and vice versa. That's how free will works. At any second of your life, you're free to choose either for or against God, or against Bible doctrine. So the fact that it has that freedom to express itself, obviously, points out the fact that people can pull their bacon out of the fire, or they can jump into the fire at any time. Therefore, one can be positive, enter into a state of reversionism more than once, and different categories of reversionism, in other words, manifesting negative volition to some degree, pull out and ultimately still be positive. So we've got examples. David got into reversionism for a brief period of his time, about 6 months, under Operation Bathsheba, and until the prophet came and pointed it out to him, he had not rebounded his sin. Solomon went into reversionism for a particular time in his life. So, people fail. Believers fail. But those who are ultimately positive will work through it and they'll get their spiritual act back together. J, by definition, reversionism is simply a return as to a former state. Means kind of exactly what it sounds like. You're going the reverse direction where you're supposed to be going spiritually. See? A lot of people take issue with terminology that we might use, such as reversionism. Same people also do not have a understanding of the sin nature and its impact in regards to the human race, including believers in this respect. K, for a believer to be a reversionist, then, it requires that they have returned to their former state of letting the STA reign in their life. That is brought out under the doctrine of the sin nature, or the sinful trend of Adam, as we often refer to it as. The old man, the flesh, where it resides, simply called sin on many occasions, the technical for the sin nature. L, so for a believer can act just like an unbeliever in regards to their actions. They can go out and party and hell raise and have a good time. And that conduct their life under those terms and conditions and never set foot inside a church. And that's where a lot of Christians refuse to accept that. They can't see salvation as that grace-oriented. L, it serves in part to answer why that there are believers who do not continue their phase 2, maturity advance, rebound maturity, in Bible doctrine. And it also refutes the classical Calvinism's false doctrine of perseverance of the saints. Calvin repudiated. Is that that word? I'm not supposed to use it anymore. Repudiation, that's the word. Repudiated the doctrine of volition. That's an evil doctrine. It's amazing, Calvinists, if you ever find yourself associated with one, how many of them really know the Bible as far as their memory, etc. They are students in regards to memorizing it, things of this nature. Yet they promote the doctrine, the fleshless doctrine, that God created robots, that he arbitrarily determines who will be saved versus who is not saved, versus our belief and free will, that people determine themselves who's going to believe and who's not going to believe. And that imputes, in regards to mankind, evil by God to be arbitrary. God is not arbitrary. He is impartial. The Bible makes that very clear. And he responds based on the volitional makeup of the individual and part of the doctrine in order to cover his rear end, if you will. In regards to God determines who's going to be Christians, he says that therefore all believers will pan out spiritually. True believers will always pan out spiritually. That's called perseverance of the saints under his doctrine. And obviously this doctrine refutes that totally. This says a believer can act like an unbeliever any time that they so choose. Get another STA. And I guess he proved it himself as he erroneously represented God's word in that respect. He was a liar. I've read some places that he repented of his belief later on in life, but I don't have any proof. But it's still a primary fallacious teaching in churches and in denominationalism today. Some of the Presbyterians are Calvinist. And it must be understood that reversionism as sin is differentiated from incidental or basic sinning, as we all engage in, as described in James 1, 13 and 15, 3, 2, and Ecclesiastes 7:20. We all have a sin nature. We obviously all engage in personal acts of sin. James, in his epistle, obviously recognizes that. In verses 13 and 15, James 1, let no one who say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. God is not the sponsor of evil. He does not create evil. Evil has come about in its existence based on the energy and determination of the creature, not the creator. God created Satan perfect, but he created him with free will. And Satan chose, as we know, to rebel completely and totally against God. And in verse 14, James brings out the mechanics, if you will, in regards to the sin nature. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away and enticed by his own lust. So he states right there that believers continue to possess a lust pattern, the sin nature. And then 3:2, he obviously declares we all stumble in many ways. And we means him too. See, James includes himself. And then Ecclesiastes 7:20, there's not even a righteous man who continually does good, who does not sin. So there is the principle of incidental sin. Stumbling, losing your balance, but is not necessarily a complete and absolute fall. reversionism is distinct from isolated carnality, in that it pictures a state of perpetuated carnality. A state of carnality that is not dealt with over a period of time, a long period of time, a longer period of time. It also must be understood that sin activity, and again another false read in regards to Christians today, is not limited to the typical cosmic view of immorality, lying, lusting, adultery, murder, etc., even though these are all manifestations of the sin nature. But it also includes apostasy, that's rejection or distortion of Bible doctrine, and simple disobedience to Bible doctrine. Again, Adam and Eve didn't fall in the garden based on some immoral sin. But they couldn't. There was no sin available for them to engage in the garden except for one. That's the eat of the tree of good and evil. And they disobeyed God, and that was counted as sin against them. So disobedience to Bible doctrine. Sin, hamartia in the Greek, the noun, simply means miss the mark. And what you miss is the mark of God's absolute righteousness when you are in disobedience to him. Deuteronomy 6:14, religious reversionism, other systems of worship in regards to the Jews. God warned them explicitly to avoid that. You shall not follow other gods, any of the gods of the people that surround you. Behind every distraction of religious worship of which Human Viewpoint, the FCA, is that which sponsors it, is a god. And obviously, the world is known for its religious reversionism. Compare 1230 Deuteronomy. In regards to the nations around them, when the Lord your God cuts off before you the nations which are going in, which you are going in to dispossess, and you dispossess them and dwell in their land, beware that you are not ensnared to follow them, after they are destroyed before you, and that you do not acquire after their gods. They're not even to go in and review and study their pagan religions. They're just dismissing, disregarded. It's worthless. It's really a waste of time, you know, apart from maybe putting together an apologetic in regards to one otherwise. That you do not acquire after their gods, saying, how do these nations serve their gods, that I also may do likewise? And for the purpose of implementing it in their own lives. 1 Kings 11:6. And Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, there's no place in the Bible you can see where it says Solomon lost his salvation over any of this. It's just he did evil. He got under his STA. Now, he had the means to get under his STA and enjoy it. And he had everything at his disposal, his wealth. He had 1,000 wives. What are you going to do with that? You know, what kind of Viagra did they have back then? That's what makes me think about it. Obviously, he wasn't my age at that point in time in his life. 1,000 wives. And God warned him about this. His possessions, his chariots, his horses. God warned us to don't make possession the detail of your life your God. And I'm paraphrasing. But he disobeyed it, got wrapped up in it, etc. As just part of it. But he did evil otherwise. And the reason is a lot of it in regards to these wives that he accumulated, many of them came out of pagan backgrounds. And they came in and they continued to practice their idolatry. And he allowed that to go on. You know, the old weak husband syndrome in regards to, as far as his house, serving God. And he got involved and wrapped up in it himself. And he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and did not follow the Lord faithfully as David his father had done. David committed adultery and had the old lady's old man killed off. But still, that was incidental in his sins. I'm not trying to appreciate the gravity of the sin. But Solomon really got under it and obviously perpetuated for quite an extended period of time. In part, this theologians consider Ecclesiastes as being the result of his experience in that regard. Psalm 89, 30 and 32. If his sons forsake my law, and do not walk in my commandments, if they violate my statutes, the boundaries, the general content overall, the boundaries of God's word, and verse 3, they violate my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I will visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Discipline. Divine discipline comes upon the maladjusted, disobedient believer. And the law for them that included dietary codes, Levitical codes, as well as the moral law. And then John 16:9 pictures unbelief. The Holy Spirit, described here as the helper. When he comes, will, under his convicting ministry, convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment, the necessity of salvation, and the eternal consequences if rejected. And concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. The primary reason for the worst judgment is failure to make the salvation adjustment. Because they do not believe in Christ. The sin of unbelief to, if you will, tie together the principle of negative volition, unbelief, with reversionism. 2 Corinthians 4:2. Paul and company declares that we have disowned or renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the Word of God. The godly crust approach to Christianity, given the pious appearance, but otherwise pursuing it under negative volition, under the STA, under a human viewpoint, which fits the description of the shame and adulterating the Word of God, walking in deceit, being deceitful, to proclaim that the Bible teaches something when it doesn't, or teaches something other than. But by the manifestation of truth, his approach, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. In Bible doctrine, when it's apprehended in fellowship, does commend itself to the individual. Yeah, that's right. And your conscience will always agree with it. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Let no one in any way deceive you. That's the possibility. People throwing at you human viewpoint to misdirect you. For it will not come, this is the second advent, which is the subject in view, unless the falling away, literally, the New American Standard apostasy, comes first. That looks at the expression of the church universal under the Laodicean period, of being universally in reversionism, and God vomiting out of their mouth. It refers to the rapture. That's the falling away. We've taught you, you've been taught, that in spite of what people say about the church, the reality in regards to the church at the end of the church age is the church sucks, spiritually speaking. It's in reversionism. See, that's what we're about. We don't want to be about that. We don't want to be in reversionism. And unfortunately, the few are the only ones that escape that, which the prescription is there. Gold is being offered, pure gold, Bible doctrine is being offered otherwise. The church, universally, all your Fundy associations and friends are part of the falling away of the church universal. And it almost seems to get worse almost by day by day. Recognition. How many Christians now, you know, basically accept homosexuality as being all right, more or less. I mean, people that even in my younger days would not have. But now, because maybe they have a child or whatever, that got into that perversity. Oh, well, yeah, that's my kid now. It makes all the difference in the world. That's got to occur first. And then the man of lawlessness, that's the Antichrist, is revealed, the son of destruction. So those things got to occur first. This was eschatology that was taught to the believers early on in the church. And they were being misinformed with human viewpoint that Christ's coming has already occurred, if you will, or that it's going to occur immediately or whatever, but there were certain eschatological events that had to occur first, and they were taught the correct order. The rapture first has to happen, and then the Antichrist has to come on the scene before any of this can happen. He's just hitting the two main ideas here. See. So, you know, all the opposition in regards to sound prophecy and eschatology, it was all there at the beginning of the church. The human viewpoint was already started. A lot of that is, I believe, came through the infiltration of Gnosticism, the very thing that Peter's having to deal with in his epistle. Going in, taking Bible doctrine, spiritualizing it, all of it. You know, like the Catholic Church, they believe that we are Christ's kingdom. The church is God's kingdom. We're in the millennium. It's called all millennialism. See, it's spiritual. It's not literal. It's not real. So, don't be taken aback when you hear all these different approaches and versions of interpretation of the Bible. Nothing new under the sun. Just keep your nose in the Bible. And stay in fellowship and maintain your spiritual values necessary, and you'll be continue to be led into the epinosis, the complete and accurate understanding of God's plan. People get off of that. All right, so Roman numeral 2, now the concept of reversionism in the Bible. Again, reversionism is not a term you're going to find in the Bible. You don't find the term Trinity either. But the concept is still real. See, people love to take issue with that, but the same people, well, they use the term Trinity all the time. You don't see that term in the Bible. But the concept's there. God's noted as three persons in one. See? And it accurately coins, if you will, the concept of view. And reversion in the same way. Rebound. You don't find the word rebound in the Bible. I haven't seen the Cavaliers anywhere in the New Testament. They need some, too. So, reversionism, the concept, A, there is no specific or technical term for reversionism in either the Old or New Testament. Leave it up to the pastor to talk basketball on Super Bowl Sunday, huh? B, however, various terms and phrases are used to clearly express this concept. See, such terms and phrases include, one, turned aside. To deviate. See, to turn aside, it's not just complete runaway necessarily, but it notes a deviation, a going a different direction. Job 23:11 for some examples of the use of these terms. My foot is held fast to his path, that being God's path. I have kept his way and not turned aside. Not gone after a human viewpoint or STA alternatives in regards to God's will for his life. 34:27, Job. Because they turned aside from following him, they had no regard for any of his ways. Those who are wicked. Malachi 2:8. In regards to the priests, those in charge of Bible class for Israel, that as for you, you have turned aside from the way, you have caused many to stumble by the instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. 3:7. In the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, make a reversion recovery. And I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. You say, how shall we return? The STA gets you into the tailspin often that it seems hopeless. 1 Timothy 1:6. In regards to certain of those in the ministry, including believers, for some men, have deviated literally or strained from these things, have turned aside to pointless discussion in regards to their focus and role as communicators of Bible doctrine. Get off on non-issues. 5:15 in regards to younger widows, God's will for them, provided another right man, I want younger widows to get married, bear children, keep house, and give the enemy no occasion for reproach. Now, Paul's not saying it's wrong for a female to stay single. But the preference is, the norm is. For some have already turned aside to follow Satan. The married widow syndrome. Single, footloose, fancy free, and they get off into reversionism rather than apply themselves to God's will for them as being a wife and mother. 5:15. 1 Timothy 5:15. The last one I just read, sorry. Okay. Another term, similar, turned away. 1 Kings 11:9. Now the Lord was angry with Solomon again. We read this earlier, because his heart was turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who appeared to him twice. We read verse 6. It's verse 9. 2 Chronicles 25:27. To the kings of Israel, unfortunately most of them were not real good kings, truly positive. For that time that Amaziah turned away from following the Lord, they conspired against him in Jerusalem and he fled to Lachish. But they sent after him to Lachish and killed him there. Isaiah 1:4. Sinful nation, people weighed down with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, sons who act corruptly, they have abandoned the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away from Him. Jeremiah 8:5. Why then has this people of Jerusalem turned away in continual apostasy? They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. 3, turn back. Again, all closely associated. Here, reverting back, if you will. One denotes deviation. The other one denotes repudiation. The other one is returning back to their stated previous state. 1 Samuel 15:11 would be the emphasis behind these. I regret that I have made Saul king. Lord going to Samuel saying this. For he has turned back from following me and has not carried out my commands. Saul went into reversionism, hence the implementation of David to take his place. Psalm 44:18. heart is not turned back, our steps have not deviated from the way. Staying adjusted rather than going to reverse motion. 58, 57. Jews, they turned back and acted treacherously like their fathers. They went into national reversionism. They turned aside like a treacherous bow. So turn back, turn aside, put together in that verse. And Jeremiah 11:10. They have turned back to the iniquities of their ancestors, who refused to hear my word. They have gone after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant which I made with their fathers. Zephaniah 1:6. Part of the minor prophets. And those who have turned back from the fallen Lord, those who have not sought the Lord or inquired of Him. In regards to, again, national reversionism of Israel, Judah, Acts 7:39, the New Testament. And our fathers were unwilling to be obedient to Him, but repudiated Him, and in their hearts turned back to Egypt. In regards to the Exodus and their reversionism. Four, abandoned. Reversionists are like those who jump ship, forsake, abandon. 2 Chronicles 24:18. They abandoned the house of the Lord, the God of their fathers, and served the Asherim and the idols. So wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their guilt. Isaiah 1:4 again, as we read earlier. 5, departed. Job 23:12. We saw verse 11. Put his held fast in his path, I have kept his way and not turned aside, I have not departed from the command of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. That's Psalm 18:21. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, I have not wickedly departed from my God. Jeremiah 5:23. This people has a stubborn and rebellious heart, have turned aside and departed. 6, forsake the Lord. To forsake the Lord. Joshua 24:16. People answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. That's funny. I don't care who you are. That's the Exodus. See, that's what they're claiming. Far be it from us to ever do this. You know, that's the way some attitudes are. Verse 20. For if you forsake the Lord to serve foreign gods, then He will turn and do you harm and consume you after He has done good to you. Isaiah 1:28. Transgressors and sinners will be crushed together, and those who forsake the Lord shall come to an end. not a pretty end. Send them to death. Jeremiah 2:19. Your own wickedness will correct you. And your apostasies will reprove you. Know therefore, see that it is evil and bitter for you to forsake the Lord your God. But you went again in regard to your human viewpoint and nasty activity in life, it'll come back on you in the form of discipline. And then, okay, that's Jeremiah 2:19. The next term is fall away. Call it right here, and we'll pick this up Tuesday evening. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God the Holy Spirit to enlighten us these things in Jesus' name. Amen.